Riviera Radio. Business.
Good morning from the heart of the European Union.
Good morning from the island nation that is the UK, separate and sovereign.
Friday's amongst us, best day of the week. Only 3 Fridays to go till Brexit.
It's going to be a long, long weekend, I think. Not a long weekend, as in a relaxing, enjoyable weekend.
Yes. Oh, we'll deal with the Brexit story in a minute, but look at the markets yesterday. Well, actually, Brexit is casting a bit of a shadow over markets. Chances of a new stimulus package in the US receding before the end of the year. Mixed bag on Wall Street, but London closed up.
Yeah, a little bit mixed, it has to be said. S&P 500 posted back-to-back losses, certainly nothing dramatic, and actually recovered from the session lows. NASDAQ rebounded. I mean, there's mixed messages coming out of Washington. It has said US Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin, House Speaker Pelosi actually last night cited progress towards an agreement, still looking unlikely, one would suggest, before the end of this year. The euro rose yesterday after the European Central Bank escalated efforts to try and shield the region from a double dip recession, extending its bond buying program by 9 months and 500 billion euros, but warned they may not use all of its new ammunition. Stock 600 in Europe was down 0.4%. S&P 500 was down just 0.13%. Nasdaq was actually up 0.5%. Yesterday's big winner, Airbnb share price, more than doubled on its first day of trading. In fact, it's up 115%, giving the company a valuation of $100 billion. Quite remarkable for a company with revenue probably around about $5 billion that's never made a profit. Opening calls on the European bourses this morning, a little bit to the downside. Currently calling FTSE down 16 points. DAX over in Frankfurt down 80 points. CAC 40 in Paris off 18 points.
Why does Boris Johnson keep referring to the hardest of hard WTO Brexits as an Australia-style deal?
I think it sounds a little bit better than a no-deal Brexit, to be honest with you. And I certainly agree with you. You know, it's not the correct comparison, quite frankly. Australia's relationship with the European Union is covered by a number of individual agreements, somewhere around a dozen agreements, particularly focused, of course, around things like agriculture. But you can't compare the UK's relationship with the European Union in the same way as Australia, because, you know, it's simply not the same level of interaction. The UK is obviously much closer to the European Union, accounts for something like 44% of our exports. It only accounts for a small part of Australian exports. But also, the supply chain isn't important to Australia from the European Union in the same way it is to the UK. And that disruption is also what is likely to harm the UK economy. So the reality is, if we were indeed to move towards the Australian option, it would still see the UK fall back on WTO rules, still face tariffs and quotas starting from the 1st of January.
But the honest truth is, even the Canada-style deal that's been trumpeted by Mr Johnson and his allies, I mean, even that wouldn't be suitable for the UK's requirements, especially in terms of exports.
Yeah, very true, very true. And we've only been talking about goods. We should remember the UK economy is primarily driven by services, and it's important eventually that the UK can continue to export that services to the European Union. So, listen, a deal apparently hanging in the balance. We know that they continue to clash over some of these old issues, and if we haven't solved it in over 4 years, is it going to happen in less than 4 days? So deal looking perhaps a little bit more elusive, and European officials, of course, openly talking about contingency plans now that would keep planes in the air, hauliers on the road, and allow European fishing fleets into UK waters. Sunday could prove indeed to be that true make or break deadline date after so many have come and gone.
Yes, I mean, that sounds like a bit of an extension to me. Obviously, not for everything, but as far as key sort of transportation measures go, there's an awful lot of spin going on both sides, but are you still expecting a deal at the end of the day? I mean, the euro is climbed, you know, it's 1 euro 9.5 cents, so the pound has lost a cent against the euro overnight.
And that's been the true reflection, of course, of markets' anxiety over the potential for a deal, and it's certainly weakened during the course of the past few days as markets have reacted to the pessimism coming through from not only number 10 but also from European leaders as well. The question is, I suppose, can Boris Johnson use some of that famous charm to go to his counterparts in France and Germany and try to get this deal over the line in a way that he wants? But he said many times before he believes that sovereignty is a price worth paying for a no-deal Brexit, or indeed an Australian no-deal Brexit. So, I say, hangs by a balance. So we have to wait and see how those negotiations play out. Again, I remind you, for international investors, it's not actually the most important thing on the agenda.
Yeah, so quite a few reports circulating this morning that Boris Johnson's so-called charm went down like a lead balloon with Ursula von der Leyen on Thursday night, and apparently tried some of his hilarious one-liners, which were met with a stony silence.
I can well imagine they're different in terms of their style and in terms of their approach. So you can imagine
she's got some style and he hasn't got any.
Well, I wouldn't like to say that. So you can imagine it was somewhat of a clash of cultures there.
Okay, well, the EU will certainly be relieved that they've got their budgets wrangling sorted out.
Yeah, Brexit actually wasn't apparently top of the agenda when the European summit. Actually much more focused for European leaders around the budget and the stimulus package. And they resolved a standoff with two member states that threatened to delay the implementation of this historic multi-trillion euro budget and stimulus package. The deal was agreed with Hungary and Poland, who had protested against tying funding to rules of law. The agreement paves the way for the EU to put into effect a seven-year budget, the 750 billion euro pandemic relief package, which should, I'll remind you, is based on mutualized debt for the first time, which has seen a significant progress in terms of the broader European project. The deal, I think, still needs to be accepted, ratified by the European Parliament.
Well, never mind Brexit. I mean, happy days are here again, because the UK banks are starting to pay dividends again. I can't wait for my Barclays loots to turn up in my account.
I knew that cheer up. UK banks can restart paying dividends after the regulator, Prudential Regulation Authority, judged that an extension of the exceptional and precautionary action taken in March is not necessary. Regulators have carried out two stress tests of the bank's capital positions and judged they are resilient to a wide range of economic outcomes, including economic outcomes that are materially more severe than the current expectations. The update helped the FTSE 350 banking sector index erase some of the early losses generated by the fears of the impact that a no-deal Brexit could have on the UK economy.
See, I've kept the faith of the Barclays all these years through the financial crisis, through
Blue
these
Army.
Hard times.
Blue Army, fantastic.
We're talking about Chelsea
it.
Now.
We know you're with us. That's important.
All right, foreign exchanges, please, Hank.
Pound against the dollar coming in at 1.33, euro dollar coming in at 1.21. Going to get a mere 1 euro, 9.5 cents to your British pound this morning. Dramatic weekend ahead of us.
Okay, thank you very much, TCFN.
Have a good day.
Talk to you on Monday. Hank Potts from Barclays.